Hi, my name is Sydney, and today I am here to celebrate the most aesthetic of holidays. My favorite aesthetic of holidays. Valentine's Day!
Hi, I'm Maya. I fucking hate Valentine's
Day. We know! Yippee. Listen, I'm not here to celebrate Valentine's Day on, like, a spiritual or, like, the actual level.
No, I get it.
I take myself out on a little date. I love the aesthetics, the pink, the red, the white. Mm-hmm. It's really great.
Listen, no, I don't, like, I don't actively shit on Valentine's Day, on the day, or anything like that. I don't ruin other people's fun.
Right.
Like, I'm glad people are enjoying themselves and sharing time with their loved one or spouse or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
It could, like, my dad usually buys us a little thing of, like, chocolates every year, which is very nice of him. But it's just, like, contextually in my life, not good things have happened around Valentine's Day or on the day itself.
Right. You have a little trauma.
I got a little beef with Valentine's Day, but that's for me and me alone.
I didn't like Valentine's Day as like a high schooler slash like even college student. I was like,
See, middle school, high school me was like, yippee, chocolate.
Elementary school me?
Like, it's a
fucking love
I used
Valentine's
to buy shit
Day.
For like all my friends and
yeah,
stuff
exactly.
because I was like, I love you guys.
Yeah.
But then, you know, shit happened and I was like, fuck Valentine's Day.
Life happened.
Y'all don't get nothing.
Yeah. And then I got older and I was just like, you know what? I could just take myself out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just treat myself all day. I'm going to get myself
a little
coffee.
Probably what I'm going to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on like a Tuesday or something.
I think it's like, Tuesday or Wednesday or something. Like middle of the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just like,
Would I like for something to happen on Valentine's Day? Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Do I think anything's going to happen?
No. Do you want to be on my Valentine?
Whoa.
Your hand's so cold.
I know. Well,
are
that's
you okay?
Also, like, my severely damaged hand.
Oh.
I know. That's why I tucked it in there, because I was like, it's a little... She's getting a little cold. interesting.
I'll be your Valentine.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll buy you a little chocolate set.
Oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, maybe some roses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but today I'm celebrating Valentine's Day. I did it the very first. It was like my very first episode, my own episode of the show. I was like, I'm going to celebrate Valentine's Day because it's February. And then last year, I don't remember what I did, but I did not celebrate Valentine's Day. But I am deciding kind of to just like one-off Valentine's Day like every other year, maybe just because like not everyone's a fan of Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Valentine's Day not in the same way I love Christmas. Christmas is my entire being. When December rolls around.
You actively enjoy the holiday of Christmas. And,
I do.
Like, the events that happen on
Gift
Christmas.
Giving,
whereas now
baking.
You're just talking more aesthetically.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to celebrate Valentine's Day. It's my favorite. I love it. Before I get into my episode, do you have any news? Any updates?
News or updates? I mean, the big thing was, like, the Dungeons & Dragons movie kind of finally got a release date.
Mm-hmm.
Which is March 31st,
okay.
I'm pretty sure. But other than that, I don't think there's too much going on.
That's all right. I don't have much either, so I'm just going to jump into it.
All right.
Today, I will be talking about the coffee shop AU.
Okay.
Which is not Maya's favorite.
Not my least favorite,
her least favorite, yeah.
It's pretty middle of the line for me.
I think it's everyone's, like, it's a very... gateway drug into fan fiction.
Yes,
there's a coffee shop AU for every fandom, for every pair.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee shop AU is just like
coffee shop flower shop. I would say those two are like that and like college AU.
Oh yeah,
those
like...
are the three like pillars.
Yeah, of fan fiction.
Yeah, those are the three gates.
Yes, yeah. So those are like the ones where if someone came to me and was like, I've never read fan fiction before. Here's, like, the fandoms I like. I'd probably find them a coffee shop
I wouldn't give them a crime AU.
No, I'd probably find them a coffee shop
I would
AU.
Talk about it, but I'd be like, here are other AUs that often most people find intriguing.
Yes.
And then there's the dark underbelly.
We'll get there later. We'll get there later.
We're going to kill your favorite character in front of your very eyes. Anyways, pick your poison.
Anyways, do you want flowers or...
Sip, sip, drink, drink.
I have a couple notes, so I just want a little history on the coffee shop AU.
Right.
So it's originally known as the Barista AU,
mm-hmm.
and it was closely related to the Bakery AU, which needs to come back. I would like that more. Good Bakery AU?
Yeah, that... I talked about it on the show, didn't I, during my Kotsky episode? I talked about Bloodbind? Was it?
Maybe you
Blood
did.
Bond. Anyways, that one's a bakery.
Fuck yeah.
And Vampire. It's kind of got it all.
It's kind of got it all.
Yeah, it's good.
Something like for it. Everyone.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. So this form of fan fiction, this alternate universe of fan work, began on LiveJournal and has been popular pretty much ever since. The origin of this AU is uncertain, but we kind of seem scholars, people smarter than I, kind of had pieced together that it first popped up within the NSYNC and Backstreet Boys real person fanfiction communities back in 2001.
Slay.
And it's
noted. My god, it's as old as I am.
Yeah, it is as old as
probably
you are.
Probably older.
I don't have like in a month.
I know. I was born
late in the year. 2001, yeah. So yeah, it's literally as old as you are.
Damn.
Wow. You were always meant to have coffee shop AU in your life.
I've worked at a coffee shop.
Hey!
I've been a barista.
Fuck yeah. See? So it's notable that the first, quote unquote, first coffee shop AU story is called Café de l'Amour by NSYNC Girl, G-R-R-L, who is also an LGBTQ romance author now called J.M. Snyder.
Very cool.
They published a story on angelfire.com/boybands in 2001. At the time, she didn't think much of it. At this time, NSYNC fanfiction mostly consisted of self-insert Justin Timberlake fanfiction.
Mm-hmm.
But Snyder found herself leaning more towards real person slash with Justin and band member Lance Bass.
Cool.
So writing RPS, which means real person slash, which if you're like a newer, like a youngin, slash back then was like what we have on AO3 now,
yeah.
Which is like the Justin Timberlake slash instead of the ampersand.
Right.
So that's where that
came
from.
Like Tumblr, it's they use the X.
Yeah.
I remember going from Tumblr to AO3. I was like,
slash.
Slash versus like anything else. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's really interesting to see how like things from AO3, like you can clearly see were influenced by what the people who created AO3 were going through on like LiveJournal forums and like these Angel Fire pages where they literally called slash and now we have it on AO3. You would never think about it now, but you're like, yeah, that came from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So while writing a real person slash, it satisfied the fanfiction itch for a while, but she quickly grew tired of the banfic formula because it was really just like Justin Timberlake as a band member. It didn't really go anywhere further than that.
Okay.
And she wanted to start something new. So Snyder started a series where the NSYNC band members held regular jobs. All of these jobs were ones that she worked herself, allowing her to add more personal touches to portray a more authentic experience.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "When I first graduated from college, I worked for a few months as a barista at a coffee shop, so the story is heavily inspired by my experiences there. The Coffee Shop AU speaks to our love of cozy little shops where we can mingle or read or work while sipping specialty drinks." As to what made Café Léa more popular, she believes people just liked seeing the bandmates doing something other than being a world-famous boy band. And, like, I agree with that. I didn't really think about the Coffee Shop AU that much, but I do enjoy the idea of just, like, this big, gigantic thing in your life can just happen at, like, a little coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Just, like, you can just, you know, find the love of your life just, like, at a coffee shop. And you're just like, that's good. I like that a lot.
Right.
So, ultimately, other fandoms took note of this AU, and it spread like wildflower, becoming especially prevalent in the early 2010s. Stargate Atlantis saw an explosion of barista AUs due to the fans interpreting Rodney McKay's canonical love of coffee as a caffeine addiction. The barista AU was also popular in bandom, in part because of John Walker of Panic at the Disco had actually worked as a barista prior to joining the band. Gerard Wade of My Chemical Romance also had a well-documented love of coffee. So it seemed to come from, like, partial true facts about people's lives, and then they just, like, yeah, that's it. I'm actually, like, reading this and, like, thinking about it now, I would like to know, like, when the AU happened. Because even thinking about, like, oh yeah, NSYNC, it was just, like, self-insert with Justin Timberlake, but he was Justin Timberlake. He wasn't like an alternate universe Justin Timberlake. You know, I would like to look more into that one day, because it was just like, huh, like, when did the AU, was the AU always there? Did it sprout at some point? Like,
I could not tell you.
Right. So as of February 2023, the month that we are in currently, the works tagged Alternative Universe Coffee Shops and Cafes, which is the official tag on AO3, represents 33,000 of the 905,400 of the works broadly tagged as AUs. Because the thing about coffee shop AUs, they're called like coffee shops or barista. Like, you can find them under plenty of different tags. The alternate universe coffee shops and cafe is just like the official one.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that's what the author has tagged it as. Oh, do you want to guess what the most common fandom with the coffee shop AU tag?
Over the past 10 years?
Just currently.
Oh, okay.
Like, what are the top now?
Right now.
Right now.
BTS?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty positive in that answer. God, what would the other two be? I'm trying to think. Well, would My Hero Academia?
Yes.
Be one? Yeah. Okay. And I'm trying to think of like another big one. I don't want to get it wrong because I've already gotten the other two right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're on a roll. I know.
That's the thing. But I'm gonna say it, and it's gonna be wrong. I don't think it's Chainsaw Man, even though I know that's really popular right now. I'm trying to think of ones that have been like.
You love this one.
Is it Jujutsu Kaisen?
No.
Fuck.
Older. Think older.
Older?
Not that much older. But it is older than the anime Jujutsu Kaisen. Haikyuu? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it goes number one with BTS, followed by Haikyuu and My Hero Academia.
Okay. Haikyuu's got more on. Okay.
Yeah. So on AO3, the overwhelming majority of works tagged as alternate universe coffee shops and cafes are rated Teen and Up. So that's also a reason why I would personally give someone new to fanfiction a coffee shop AU. Because it's more likely to be, like, family-friendly, quote-unquote. They have about 12,000 tagged works in Teen and Up, and then general audience right under that, also around 12,000. And the most commonly additional tags are Fluff, Alternate Universe College/University, and Alternate Universe Modern Setting, which makes sense. They all seem to fall in the same.
Right.
The idea of, like, being a college student and working at a coffee shop is very universal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, most of the time, even in just normal media, like TV shows or movies or whatnot, it's just like, oh, most of the time they cast younger people to be working. I mean, even in fucking, like, La La Land.
Yeah. But I also,
she's, like, trying to get work.
Yeah. I feel like that pulls from, like, there's always a coffee shop somewhere. There's always a coffee shop on a college campus. You know, there's always a coffee shop somewhere. May it be Starbucks or a local coffee shop. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, in the Fansplaining Fic Preferences Survey conducted in 2016, over 7,500 respondents ranked Coffee Shop AU as the 10th most popular AU trope and the 53rd overall most popular trope, which I think is coming back to you saying, like, it's like half and half. Like, it's not the best, it's not the worst, it's somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah. And then Catherine McCain, who is a PhD graduate from Ohio State University, researched contemporary fanfiction with a focus on coffee shop AUs. She wrote a 2017 essay titled Fans Love It Latte, The Rise and Participatory Nature of Coffee Shop AUs. Her dissertation explores the coffee shop AU, and her research looks to explain fan behavior, more specifically exploring why fanfiction is a worthy enterprise and seeks to highlight the artistic merit of fanfiction as a valuable text, not just in fandom, but as real literature. She said the coffee shop AU is targeted enough that a fan knows precisely what they'll be reading and simultaneously broad enough that it invites endless variations. She said, while angst and darker-tinged fics are very popular, she suggests that the coffee shop AU is like the bread and butter of fandom writing. It provides the safe, fluffy, happy-ending content that many fans crave after a more action-packed canon. It's also comforting in its familiarity, pulling from well-known rom-com tropes and reflecting real-life experiences. Which I think you pretty much said.
Yeah.
Like, it's not crime AU. It's a cute coffee shop AU.
Yeah, no. It is a very safe square to be in.
Right.
When you're first starting out.
Yeah. And I do think it's, like, maybe not for you, because you like to live in the darker ones.
Mm.
But I feel like if you're an individual who reads the darker ones, and you're like, I just need one really nice one. A good coffee shop. One shot.
Yeah, no. They're standard. Yeah. Again, like, I don't dislike them. But it's not like I'm putting them on my top 10 list.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Like,
I would never put it as my top 3 AUs.
No.
You know?
You know, what were the other ones we listed earlier?
As, like, a...
College AU.
Modern AU.
Yeah, like, there's certain ones that are just so...
Broad.
Broad, but safe, but also they're definitely gateway... Like, Soulmate AU.
Right.
It's kind of where I would lump that.
Yeah.
Just because of how broad it is, if you gave me a more specific Soulmate AU, then I might...
Flower Shop, Tattoo Shop.
Yeah, I mean, Flower Shop, even Coffee Shop. Like, those I've seen in fics together before, so it's just like...
Yeah.
There's certain things where it's like, this is a very safe square to be. Like, I'm genuinely surprised if it goes any further than, like, a PG-13 kind of rating.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's definitely explicit coffee shop AU fanfiction.
No, there are.
Yeah.
But it's comparatively, percentage-wise, 100%, in, like, yeah. my head, where I'm like, that is...
if you looked up crime AU, the top would probably be explicit, if not no, for the violence no, alone.
No, whereas I'm saying, it's it's completely reversed with yeah. crime AU, where you're very lucky to find something if it's, like, PG-13. You're yes. like, ooh, yeah. this is different.
Wow.
So weird.
The diamond. the diamond in the rough. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess I do enjoy a coffee shop. It is one of the things that I after... several years of reading fan fiction, I don't actively seek out anymore. Mm. But if I am going through, like, a specific pair, just, like, I'm looking for fix for a specific pair, and it comes up as a coffee shop, I'd be like, okay, yeah, yeah. that'll probably be good, mm-hmm. you know? So, it's crazy how old a coffee shop AU is, but also just how... just the life it lives now.
Right.
Just as, like, Catherine McCain is right, like, just the bread and butter of fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, it's there, you know? Right. It's like a good cup of coffee. It's just always there when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the fan fiction I'm going to read today is called Nothing's Quite as Sweet by Dimple for Your Thoughts. It is a one-shot, 50,000 words, published in November 22nd of 2016. I'd say the peak of this fandom. It is rated teen and up, and it's going to be the Voltron fandom. Because okay. they're Yikes. My drug.
Yikes.
I really like...
they really are your guilty pleasure.
They're really my guilty pleasure, and they're my drug. And even after finishing it, I'm like, wow. I can never get enough of them, which is crazy for someone who's never fucking watched the show a day in her life. And I feel at this point, it makes the fanfiction experience for me better, because I'm not sitting there reading the fanfiction and being like, man, I wish the show was like this, because I don't know. I never right. watched the show.
Right.
But, yeah, they're actively my drug.
I could not force myself to watch it.
Oh, I couldn't either.
And it wasn't even the knowledge of, like, they never finished. It was just,
That's fair. There was no... because there's just, like... I still don't know what the drug is.
Whereas, like, with Bluey...
right.
Every time I see a Bluey clip, I'm like, fuck. I don't want to watch a show
I have to.
But at this point, I feel like I have... but it's also, like, I'm gonna cry. This is a
show about a blue dog.
It's for children.
Yeah.
And you're gonna make me sit here and cry because I'm learning things about myself that I didn't know.
I saw a tweet that was literally just, like... us being raised by blue dogs, Blue's right. Clues, Bluey. There's something in our DNA now because, what am I trying to say? For my Patreon episode, I watched the new Teen Wolf movie. Mm-hmm. And so we have Paramount Plus now because it's the only platform that it's on. So I have it for a month. They have that, like, Blue's Clues, Blue Goes to New York or whatever. And mm-hmm. it has all three of the hosts on it. I actively cried during that movie.
Yeah.
I'm 24 years old. Mm-hmm. Something about that blue dog brought out the kid in me again. And Bluey's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But there is some drug in some... like the relationship I'm talking about today, which is Keith and Lance of Voltron. There's something about, you know, the characters of My Hero Academia, Haikyuu, Supernatural. That's just, like, got a hook in so many people that was like, what was it? What was that formula that, like... that just, that perfect formula that hooked so many people
right.
that are, like, some other shows that get so much promotion and so much this that just, it doesn't have the same hook that it has for
mm-hmm.
so many people.
No, that's fair.
Clance is my drug, and I don't want to be looked down upon it for. Also, this is my entry.
I don't think...
no, I know. This is also my entry because my last episode for January, the first episode of January, was me going... Clance got kicked out of the top 10. Come on. Get him back up there. So I'm getting all of you reignited with this fic. So it has 216,000 hits, 14,000 kudos, 1,471 comments, and 5,000 bookmarks. And the tags are alternate universe, coffee shop and cafes, misunderstandings, sharing a bed, slow burn, alternate universe, college/university, and fluff, which has all of the tags that were mentioned in the previous mm-hmm, one. Mm-hmm. So this is also a recommendation from Ayanika, who's a fanfiction author and a friend of the show who we had on our first year of doing the podcast.
Yippee.
She was our sixth ever guest that
I remember that, because we double recorded that day.
We did double record that day. That is episode 25, How Older Generations Hold Up the Fandom, with Ayanika 01. And this is one of the fics that was her favorite / that she recommended to us at the end. So thank you, Ayanika. I enjoyed this so much.
I haven't heard from her in a long time.
Yeah, I hope she's doing well.
Me too.
So we're starting with Keith Kogane being snapped out of a daze from the smell of burnt coffee. Mm. He apologizes to his coworker Pidge, blaming it on a very long night. He's had a lot of long nights and early mornings lately, and it's bad enough that the first week of class is back to the university. So there's been like a line out the door for the past, like, since they open up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And Keith fucking hates his job. The only reason he's there is because he's been awarded the Galra Grant, which is a scholarship that allowed Keith to attend law school free of charge for exchange of working 20 hours a week at this coffee shop.
Okay.
It's too bad that Keith dropped out of law school after the first semester.
Very cool.
So he should quit since he's technically not a student anymore and he doesn't need the scholarship, but he's always had this nagging possibility that he could go back to law school. Mm. So he's never left. So for now, Keith wakes up in his shitty apartment, goes to work at his shitty job, tries not to think about, you know, his extensively shitty life, and that's pretty much it. As the day passes slowly until it's finally over, and he goes home and does much of what we all do, taking a shower, eating dinner, getting some chores done, and then he sits by his fire escape and watches the sun drop below the horizon. One day, he thinks, one day things will be better. One day I'll want to go back to law school. One day I'll be a lawyer. One day I'll be successful and have money. One day I'll be happy. The morning half of his shift the next day passes quite quickly, and really it's all thanks to Shiro, his general manager. But during the afternoon, the door opens and Keith hears, "Well, actually I was just, hey, I know you!" And he looks up and the customer's this guy, roughly his age, that he has no idea who he is. Mm-hmm. The guy explains that he's seen Keith on the bus before. He talks so quickly that Keith really has no room to answer back. He introduces himself as Lance, and he works at the cat shelter across the street, and he wants to put flyers up in the coffee shop for a fundraiser they're doing. Lance orders a coffee, clearly flirting with Keith, but he's a little too dense to realize this, and so he just kind of puts up the flyers. They don't speak more than a handful of sentences to each other before Lance leaves, but he really leaves a lasting impression on Keith, you know? A few days pass, and it's 6 a.m. on a Monday when Keith is taking the trash out, and he finds this pillowcase full of kittens in the dumpster. Keith's immediately panicking because he doesn't know what to do with kittens, or if the kittens are hurt, they're just in the dumpster, you know?
Right.
So he brings them into the coffee shop, and he makes a little home for them in this, like, matcha powder box. So he, like, takes off his flannel and, like, makes it really soft. And, you know, he prepares this box, and he opens up the pillowcase to find 5 kittens. They're all of different sizes, colors, some are fluffier. He's like, these all can't be of the same litter. They must be all different. And he spends the entire day trying to make sure that no one finds out about the box of kittens in the storage room, because it's kind of a health hazard, but...
A little. Yeah.
But they're kittens. Mm. So he does a lot of really odd things where he's trying to cover up the sound of the meows, and he'll just, like, cough really loudly or, like, speak really loudly, and his coworkers will be just like, I'm right here. You don't have to scream to me. It's okay. So... he does this all day until he sees Lance walking to work, and he grabs the kittens and he just bolts out the front door. And he's like, I have a cat. I have a box of them. I found them in the dumpster and I gave them cream, but I don't have the money for vaccinations. And also sometimes I forget to eat, and I definitely haven't paid for my latest gas bill, and I cannot take care of these 5 kittens. I cannot. And Lance is like, take a deep breath. Like, just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees this box of kittens, and Keith never really knew what it meant to say someone's face lights up. But now he knows. Lance's face lights up. Like he's got a star in there instead of a brain. Like his eyes are huge and bright and his mouth falls open and even the freckles on his nose seem to stand out more. And Lance tells Keith that at first glance they look fine, but he agrees to take them back to the shelter for a better checkup. He takes them from Keith, telling him, you totally owe me one, before he's gone again. So Keith spends the entire next day thinking about the cats, if they were doing okay, what they were doing now. He's aware that he could just go over to the cat castle, which mm-hmm. is the shelter, on his break, but something about it seems too complex, too much, to step into a space that you don't know that well.
Right.
So thankfully, that's not too much for Lance, who walks into the coffee shop at 5:01 p.m., and he lets Keith know that the kittens are good, and he's come for that IOU. And he says, so how about that drink? Fine, says Keith, what size? No, like, a drink. Like a drink. Yeah, I understand the concept. It's literally my job. Small, medium, or large. Lance seems to deflate. Medium. Just a latte.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been... That's a very convoluted sentence I'm thinking of. I don't think I've ever been flirted with. But I feel like... I don't know.
You don't know what?
Like, I don't... Like, I don't know if anyone's flirted with me. I've definitely never had, like, someone flirting with me and then me being, like, really dense about it and then one of my friends being like, what the fuck was that? You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah, it's one of those things where you're just like, it's very obvious. But, like, I don't know if, like, to you as a human being, you're like, no, they weren't flirting with me.
See, the only instances in which, like, I've been quote-unquote flirted with, usually, and this is just, like, it usually is because, like, it starts out as a joke where you're like, you know what, you better shut the fuck out or you're gonna get kissed on the mouth. You know, you say shit like that. And it's usually because you're already friends or something. Mm-hmm. And then it just continues like that for a long time. That's the only flirting that I've ever really done. So
the aggressive kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. As my personality allows.
Yeah. I have to be real and honest with you. I don't particularly like flirting all that much.
See, I'm not very good at it. Okay. So, like, I just
Not that I don't like doing it. I don't like being flirted with. Mm. Something about it is just, like, to me, you know?
See, I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
I it is flattering, and I do like the way that I feel when it happens, but it's also just, like, a weird thing of, like, I don't know how to do it back really good.
Yeah. So you're just like, thanks, bro.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Like, it's like,
you walk away, and you're like, stupid.
Yeah.
So this is the time where I need to explain that Keith takes liberties at his job, and he makes coffee not approved by Galra Grinds. I think I kind of explained it in the beginning, but this, I'm pretty sure this coffee shop is supposed to be the equivalent of Starbucks, kind of, because Starbucks does that, like, scholarship program that, like, lets you go back to school or whatever, but, like, worse, like, his boss is a total asshole. Like, they're not allowed to make anything that's not the approved drinks on the menu, they're not allowed to play any music that's not the approved songs, but his boss never shows up. He's just kind of an asshole. Like, so he takes the liberties that he has with making coffee, and he really enjoys experimenting with flavors and brews, but, he never sells them. But for Lance, he'll make a very special one for Lance. And Lance loves it. He, like, loves it. And when he turns his back, Keith, like, no one's ever liked my coffee before. Wow. That was the first time he's ever let someone else try one of his coffees. And he liked it. Really liked it. Keith bites his lips as he brushes up cinnamon and sugar. His throat feels caught in the base of his throat, too big for his ribs. So the next day, Lance comes in again, and he proudly informs Keith that the kittens are completely flea and disease-free, and they'll get their vaccines at around 8 weeks old. The day after that, Lance stops by and spends half an hour detailing each kitten's eating patterns, how he and his coworker Hunk are slowly incorporating solids into his diets. Every time Lance enters the coffee shop, he brings an update and an order of coffee, and Keith tries to pretend like he hasn't been waiting for Lance to visit since he got the second he gets to work.
Right.
Eventually, it occurs to Keith that Lance might run out of updates to give him and spends the night brainstorming ways to extend Lance's visit as long as he can. So, the next day, Keith is closing up his double shift, a little more irritated than usual because it was a long day, but mostly because Lance didn't stop by. But then, at 1:59 a.m., the door opens and Lance walks in demanding a red eye and all the espresso they have. He's had a very rough day, so Keith makes him one of his special coffees, and Lance just melts. It's not until Keith gets home that he realizes he actually had an entire conversation with Lance, and they did not bring up the kittens once. They exchange numbers that night, and now it's a moment that Keith's phone isn't buzzing with a new text or picture of the kittens. Keith texts Lance less, really only when his manager is gone and when he's free to make Lance any coffee he wants. And in exchange, Lance takes Keith over to the shelter to see the kittens. He meets all Lance's co-workers, Hunk, Allura, Dr. Curran, who are very excited to meet this magical barista that Lance will not shut the fuck up about. They're singing his praises, and Keith just sits there, armful of kittens, and he just takes it. Truthfully, in the deepest corners of his mind, Keith has thought about doing his own coffee full-time. He knows he's pretty decent at it, but what future is there in that? Keith will go back to law school. He's going to be a lawyer. He enjoys making coffee, sure, but it's a hobby, nothing more. Lance becomes a sort of fixture in Keith's life after this. And at some point, he just starts bringing the cats in. It started with him sneaking in a kitten, but the customers love it so much that it becomes sort of this normal occurrence. And Keith learns that Lance is just the best. It's a particularly shitty Monday where he's the only one working because everyone else is sick, that Lance switches into overdrive to help Keith. And it's just that little bit of support that makes him break down and basically word vomit. He's like, I didn't even go home last night. I just took a nap on the fucking coffee bean sacks and opened. I've been awake since 4 a.m. I haven't eaten anything at all. I work all the fucking time, but I still hate my stupid fucking job. And Lance just gives him a hug. And it's a really long one. One that Lance calls literally therapeutic. And Keith has this fleeting thought that they're close enough that if Keith just pulls Lance down again, they'd be kissing. Lance sticks around until closing time, and he leaves Keith to do the rest of the work when it gets slow, but he sits in a corner of the table ever since. Keith told him to go home multiple times. Lance stayed. Lance is mostly there because he can't get Keith's word out of his head, and he just needs to know why Keith is there, working at a job he fucking hates, so Keith explains it all to him, and it's kind of sad. It is, like, really sad, and it reminds me of, like, the mental breakdown I had, like, halfway through college, where he's like, I don't even want to be a lawyer. I just thought it was the right thing to do, to say fuck you to all the people who thought, he couldn't do it, because he couldn't do it, and he fucking hated law school.
Right.
And it was one of the things where, I've talked to multiple people in my life about, I went to journalism school for 2 years, and then I had a full mental breakdown, because I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want the burnout, I don't want the competition, right. I don't want this, like, the pettiness that goes into the journalism industry. As much as I think journalism is like a very respectable field and the people who do it full-time are like kind of crazy, I just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very big breakdown that I had,
right.
And I'm just like, I can't do this anymore, I can't fucking do this anymore, and I'm not going to. And I didn't tell anyone, and I changed my major, and I still worked at a newspaper all 4 years of college without telling my mentor that I had switched majors.
Whoa.
And I think to this day she thinks I have a journalism degree because I just couldn't bring myself to tell her that I switched, like, majors.
I didn't know that. I knew about the whole, like, switching majors thing. But...
yeah. It was one of the things where she was, like, so proud of me that I couldn't bring myself to tell her that, like...
Yeah, that's me with my mentor right now where I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
She keeps... bringing up, like, she knows that I'm in film and, like, mm-hmm. I'm looking at jobs in that field, but she's like, well, if you ever decide to go to grad school, yeah. or da 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 da, I'm like, girly, I hope you know that after I'm done with this degree,
I'm done.
I'm probably never touching a viola for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
Unless it's to gig.
Yeah.
Like, I have severe burnout, yeah. and the only reason I'm practicing right now is to finish the degree.
That was the major thing, was just the burnout. Right. Like, the amount I had to write, the amount I had to, like, go, and, like, I didn't have a second to myself. Like, it was the massive burnout.
Right.
That was really, like, the end-all be-all of, like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So, I really do wish, as much as, like, I enjoy a high school AU, there's just so much more in college AUs. Because it's a time where you just learn so much about yourself.
Right.
And it's, like, it's rough. Some parts are, like, having full identity crises.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Like, you know, having just the worst things happen to you, meeting new people, becoming a new person, and you're right. just, like, man.
Yeah, because in my opinion, this is just my opinion, yeah. like, some people will probably, you know, have examples in their own life. For me, it was just, like, oh... you are what your parents raised you to yeah. be until you reach college,
right.
and that's when you become your own person. Mm-hmm. Granted, you're probably going to take a lot of what your parents taught you, because that's how emotional mm-hmm. trauma works, whether that be good or bad trauma. Yeah. But it's still just like you know,
mm-hmm.
now you have full access to the
right.
world.
And you have a lot more freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you finally can discover things about yourself.
Yeah.
And make decisions for yourself.
I do enjoy a college AU more than a high school AU.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think most people.
I think so too.
Do as well.
Yeah. So, and Lance, he kind of knows what we're all talking about, because he's in college and has no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much a person who is like, I've been undecided for the past, like, 4 years. He's like, I'm 22 and still have no idea what I'm doing in college. And, like, he's happy being in college and learning everything, because he's like, well, you know, at one point I wanted to be this, and at one point I wanted to be that, and then right. I want to be this, and I'm taking these classes, you know. And now he's really worried because Keith constantly looks like he's on his deathbed, and he's not happy. Like, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So Lance starts rattling off a list of careers that Keith might enjoy. Doctor, dancer, acrobat, flautist, surfer, teacher, journalist. And with all these silly offerings from Lance, Keith finally admits what he's been wanting to do this entire time. And he says, I want to own a coffee shop.
Mm.
And it still seems ridiculous to Keith, but Lance is excited enough for the both of them. You, says Keith, you don't think it's stupid? Why would it be stupid? I don't know. It's just, it's not law school, which you hated, Lance points out. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you're supposed to, you know, choose happiness. So what if you don't want to be a lawyer? Most people don't want to be lawyers. That's why we're not all lawyers. Whatever you want to do, whatever your dream is, it's important to you. So it's important, period. And if something important, and if something's important to you, you put your whole heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cheesy. I'm a cheesy guy. Yes, you are, Keith thinks. And I think I like it. So October ends, November arrives, and life is going pretty swimmingly. The kittens keep growing. Red is becoming Keith's favorite. Lance keeps hanging out at the coffee shop, and he sometimes brings his coworkers, and Keith keeps on creating these new coffee inventions. And it's a particularly rainy night that Keith is leaving the coffee shop that he sees Lance across the street at a bus stop. He meets him there since the next bus doesn't come for a half hour, and Lance will freeze out there if he leaves him out there. So he drives Lance home on his motorcycle. I am too scared to get on a motorcycle, but a motorcycle scene where you have to, like, hold the person, wow. It's good. Am I too afraid to ever get on one? Yes. But.
That's fair.
Yeah. But it's good to be like, oh, I have to hold on to you.
Right.
It just makes the pining all that much harder, you know?
We've talked about forced contact before.
It's great. It's one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a motorcycle ride is pretty up there in forced contact.
I would say so.
Yeah.
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 Again, crime AU.
Lots
of motorcycles.
I think because it's
the bad boy aesthetic.
It's the bad boy aesthetic, but also, like, if you're really thinking about crime, it's the speedier getaway.
Right.
Than, like, a car, you know? Correct. You just kind of hop on that and you zoom, you can go through a bunch of cars.
So, yeah, no. I've had my fair share of motorcycle rides.
Fantasies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it, but I'm too afraid to go on. But it's just like, I get it, bitches, I get it. So Lance makes him come inside so that Keith isn't driving in the rain, and he makes him tea, they watch a movie, they talk, they laugh, and they lose track of time, and before Keith knows it, it's midnight. He's quick to try to leave, but Lance won't let him, and he's already making a space on the couch for him. Keith wants to say, I need you to know that I didn't do this on purpose. This is not me worming my way into your house and your life and your friends. I do not need this. I can leave no problem and not look back. He wants to say, I'm not good at taking up space. But Lance is here, and it's warm, and it's not downpouring, and he does need to be up in 5 hours to go to work, so Keith stays. And Keith isn't the only one getting very comfortable from this relationship. One very bleak day, Lance comes into the coffee shop, no coworkers, no kittens, and he's crying. So Keith sits him down in the corner of the shop, and he feeds him tea until the end of his shift.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance tells Keith that the cat shelter isn't doing well financially, and they had to put down some of the old and the sick cats. And Keith has never seen Lance quiet, let alone sad, but he's also glad that Lance felt safe enough to come to Keith, mm-hmm. that he wants Keith to give him these comforting words and hot beverages. And he may not be able to help everyone, but he's glad that he can help him. And I love the cat aspect in this. I didn't say the summary of this fic, but it is very, like, cat coffee shop. And of course, I love cats. I love my cat.
Right.
I wasn't particularly a cat person, like, growing up, because I loved the dog that we had mm-hmm. growing up. But I love cats, and now I love my cat. And, like, the idea... Now, I got one cat, and suddenly I want to save all the cats.
Right.
I understand, Lance, to, like, a nuclear level. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I also want to save all the cats. I want to have a cat home. I want to own all the cats. I don't want any of them to be sad. I see, like, a cat outside, like, a stray, and I'm like, I wish I could take you home so you don't live outside anymore. It's really become a thing that I'm like, I want to save all the cats. But I've also gotten this way. There was a moment in my high school life that I had fish. And, like, they were particularly betas that you can, like, buy from the pet store or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to save all the fish. And they're like, honey, you only can have one fish per tank. And I was like, I want all the fish. I want to bring all of them home. It's a lot, but I want to save all of them. Yeah.
Can't.
I know. And it's really sad. So after this moment, Keith begins to notice something different about Lance. He's touching Keith more. He's brushing his shoulders, jabbing elbows very playfully like friends do. Sometimes he'll hug Keith just because he can. And Keith starts spending all of his time at the cat shelter. He's grown very comfortable in a place like this that isn't his job or his apartment, somewhere that, like, he's wanted and doesn't need to be. The kittens are 8 weeks old, and, like I said, Keith's official favorite is this little cat named Red, which is very cute because all the cats... You haven't watched the show, so you don't know, but they, like, pirate lions, and their name's based on the colors, so they named all the kittens.
I kind of figured when okay. you were like, Red, and I was like, is yeah. that his color?
Yes, that is his color.
I was assuming it was. Yeah. No, I know, like, bear, basics. Like, okay. they're like Power Rangers sort of.
Yeah, they all have, like, a color, so there's, like, yes. green, yellow, blue, red, black.
Yeah.
Pink, but there's not a pink lion, it's just for Allura. Allura's pink. So they have the five cats. It's yellow, green, blue, red, black. Okay. And so Red's Keith's favorite, and Lance is doing his damnedest to try to get Keith to adopt her, because he's like, I know you love this cat. I'm going to make sure you bring this cat home, because you're going to be very sad if someone else adopts this cat. Mm-hmm. But Keith is very hesitant, because he's like, I can barely feed myself. Like, I don't know if I can take care of a cat. So Lance suggests that he spends one night with her. You know, he's like, we do this thing where you go try it out, kind of like a test drive on a car where you kind of have a cat sleepover. I don't know if this is a real thing or Lance bent the rules for Keith, but he's like, we do this thing. And he's like, okay. So it's a mostly normal night. It reminded me of the first night with my cat where, like, she hid in the closet and, like, under the bed. And then finally she kind of got comfortable and came out in the living room, and she screams for food and cries when Keith, you know, tries to take a shower and is out of her line of sight. So it's very normal until Keith wakes up with her the next morning and sees Red, paws folded, curled up on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best part about cats.
Okay.
I love cats. An undeniable something comes to life in Keith's chest, as if his ribs are cracking to keep the feeling contained. One minute he's there in bed, a soft kitten purring on his chest. The next he's standing in the kitchen, surrounded by a dozen bags of assorted cat toys, scratching posts, catnip, cat food, cat sand, water jugs, etc. He's never returning this cat. It was a moment where he's like, this is my cat now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No one, you cannot convince me to bring this cat back.
Right.
That was like, I don't know if I ever told you when I got my cat, they obviously, like, it went to, like, the Humane Society, where they had, you know, just a bunch. And I was like, can I see your cats? And they're like, yeah, like, of course. And so I saw a bunch of them. I think I saw two before it. And then, like, I saw my cat, and she was, like, very quiet, like, in her little cage that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can I see that one? And they're like, oh, like, sure. Like, she doesn't really like coming down, so is it okay if she's just in her little crate? And I was like, that's fine. So she came up to me, and I remember that she fell down, and my cat flops, and she likes her belly being scratched, so she'll flop and roll. But she, like, fell asleep in the palm of my hand with her little head in my hand, and I was like, this is my cat.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot convince me to bring this cat back. This is my cat.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. I was like, this is my cat.
Because you were like, I was chosen.
Yeah. She
chose me.
I was like, okay. The other cats, they're, like, fine. They were, like, walking around me. They weren't really doing much. But this one just, like, flopped down. I was scratching her, and then she fell asleep in my hand, and I was like, this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one. And then, yes, I did the same thing where I walked around the PetSmart and was like, that and this and this and that and that, and I spent too much money, but you know what? Who fucking cares?
Doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter now. So they make it official on Keith's birthday when all of his friends throw him a surprise party and presents him with adoption papers. It says, this is to certify that Keith Koganay has adopted Red Koganay and welcomed them into their forever home. He cannot look up at his friends, because if he does, he will completely fall apart. He presses a hand over his mouth and turns around to face the street, but his friends don't tease him that much. It is his birthday after all, and they need to party. And this is a moment, like, after this moment, we learn about Keith's life. So he was, like, an orphan. He was, like, foster home to foster home. So seeing words like forever home, like, really did something to him.
Mm.
Where he's just like, fuck. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I don't really go into it a lot, but they do say in the fic that he was bounced around from, like, foster home to foster home. He never really found, like, a stable spot in mm-hmm. life. So after they do all this clubbing and everything, Lance takes a very drunk Keith back to his apartment to sleep, and when he wakes up, Keith's brain starts running a mile a minute, because all he can remember is leaning his head on Lance's shoulder and curling up into Lance on the car ride home and going to sleep in Lance's hoodie. And now he's making coffee and Eggo waffles with Lance across from him. And all he can think is, kiss me. Come on, just lead down and do it. Just kiss me. Don't stop smiling. Just let me kiss you on the mouth. Just fucking kiss me. It's just a very, like, bam, 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 bam. Just a right. lot has happened.
Right.
They sit at the coffee table, sunlight falling in warm squares. They both sit in comfortable silence, drinking coffee. Keith looks at Lance and feels a new sensation. It's like light sliding up your body as the sun rises outside. It's like wading into a warm, jewel-blue ocean, stepping slowly and purposefully into the swells. It's like the expansion of something beautiful and incredible and endlessly fascinating, something that's been inside him for a while, but is only now expanding enough to make his presence known. He looks at Lance and then realizes there's a word for this. Three words, actually. I love him. Keith swallows this earth-shattering revelation and goes about his life, begging that this feeling does not show on his face 24/7. And he's in the middle of a Sunday shift when he gets a text from Lance to meet him in his apartment after work. And to his surprise, the entire friend group is there, but this time it's not for a fun party. This time it's for the tragic news that Allura can't get them out of the hole that the cat shelter is in, and then they're closing in 6 months. And Keith cannot perceive a world without the shelter across the street. Everyone is better for it. Shiro, Pidge, Keith. Keith is especially better for it. But, and he won't let it go without a fight. So he comes up with this idea to use the coffee shop. Bring in the cats, tape all the pictures of them, you know, of all the ones that they have at the shelter, make specialty cat-themed drinks. And for a moment, there's life in the room, that there might be hope after all, until Lance remembers their shitty boss and the fact that they could all lose their jobs because of this. But to Keith, this is more important than the job, than his boss, than anything else.
Right.
And so Operation Save the Cats is a go. And it's an instant hit. The college kids especially come back again and again to pet their favorite cats. Most of them cannot afford to adopt one, but some of them do get adopted, and at the very least, the customers play with the cats and even bring them toys and treats sometimes. Christmas and New Year's fly by, and Lance and Keith are doing this kind of push-pull thing. They're so close, teetering on the edge of something one moment, and then they're distant and busy the next moment. And the coffee shop also has been busy, but it's like a good busy with like joyous people coming in with the cats, and it's just like really good vibes. It's not just like get in, get out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Until the big boss shows up and he's pissed off.
Right.
He's the vision of this like small man who doesn't have any control over his life. So he takes control of this one shitty shop so that he feels like the big man again. But Keith takes all the blame. He doesn't stand strong or quit on the spot. He just takes it all. Mostly because Keith feels like it's all his fault. He was reckless, and now there's no way that they're saving the shelter. And it only gets worse when Lance meets him outside while Keith's leaving, and Keith hates himself and loves Lance all at the same time. And he takes his anger out on him, and he's like, why couldn't you just go home after that? And he hates that he's yelling at Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you, says Lance. It's you, of course. I couldn't just... Keith, what the hell does that mean? Oh, come on. Like, you don't know. Like, I haven't made it so freaking obvious by now. I don't know what. For fuck's sake, Lance says, and kisses him. It's quick. And when Keith looks at Lance, he's panicking. Maybe realizing that this is not the time nor the place for it. But then Keith grabs the collar of Lance's hoodie and he pulls him back down. Keith thinks, please catch me, please catch me, please catch me. And Lance does. Then they're kissing. Keith wants more. He wants everything. He wants Lance's mouth, the taste of espresso on his lips, the dizzying pleasure of it. He wants that mouth always. All over him, just all over. Lance kisses like he does everything. Sweet and enthusiastic and all-encompassing. And they pull apart, and Lance, being Lance, goes into, like, an action plan immediately. He's like, you can stay with me while you find a new job, and you can volunteer at the shelter. And Keith just goes cold. And he says, you don't get it. I ruined everything. The shelter's gonna go under. All the cats are gonna be homeless or euthanized. Allura might get sued. It's not okay. You don't get it. It's not okay. But it will be, Lance says. But Keith's scared. He's quit so much in his life. He's made nothing of himself. He has no idea what to do with his life. But that's not a bad thing, Lance says. We can figure it out. Just because you don't know what you want to do doesn't mean you have to punish yourself. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to wake up happy every day for the rest of your life. And Keith wants it so badly to believe in the version of himself that Lance sees. He's just not sure that person exists. And Lance cannot be responsible for the train wreck that is his own life. Because he knows he will give and give and give. It's why Keith loves him. And it's why he cannot do this. 1 week passes, 2 weeks, and Keith cannot sleep. He's a zombie. All he does is work, not sleep, maybe eat, maybe hang out with his cat. After the quote-unquote incident, Shiro and Pidge quit. They tell him to as well, but he doesn't. 2 weeks and 3 days is when Keith sees Lance for the first time, hurrying towards the cat castle where he, with his head ducked down. 2 weeks and 4 days, Keith's friends stage an intervention. He's been isolating, clearly punishing himself by not quitting, and worst of all, broke Lance's heart. And it's when all his friends, who equally care about him and want him to be happy, are surrounding him that he thinks, oh, I fucked up.
Mm.
But one thing about Lance is that he doesn't give up on anything easily. It's not over if you don't want it to be. I don't know what I want, Keith says. Shiro ruffles Keith's hair. Well, are you happy? No, Keith says. Or gasps, clutching at Elora's jacket. No, I'm not. The next day, he makes an appointment with the Department of Human Resources at the university. The next week, he meets with the board of directors of the Galward Grinds Foundation. The next week, he walks up to Sendak, looks him in the eyes, and says, I fucking quit. On April 10th, almost 2 months after the day he fucked everything up, Keith bikes to the shelter, only to see, going out of business, all adoptions free. He's not even really sure what he's doing. All Keith knows is that when he sees Lance, his hair is all messed up, there's bags under his eyes, and Keith cannot breathe. And he moves forward. Keith slams both hands on the counter, startling Lance to look up at him. His jaw drops, but before he can say anything, Keith says, I'm buying this building. I'm buying this building. I want to buy it. I'm buying it. You're not going out of business. I'm buying it. Keith, you can't buy this building. You make minimum wage. What the fuck are you talking about? And Keith explains it all. He went to the school board and told everyone about the verbal abuse and working way more than 20 hours a week with exact numbers from the official company employee records, and got his boss on film yelling and blackmailing him. And he sued. And they just wanted him to shut the fuck up, so they settled. You guys can't go out of business, Keith says. I know you hate me. I know you're mad at me, and I deserve it. And you don't have to forgive me. I'm not trying to buy you or whatever. I just... The shelter can't go out of business because this place is important, okay? It's important. And it's where I met you guys, and it just makes me happy, and I want to do things that make me happy. And I'm sorry, Keith says into the ringing silence. I'm so sorry. I got scared, and I hate being scared. But that's not... The point is that I'm sorry. You don't have to forgive me. I know it's been like 2 weeks, and you're probably over it, but I miss you. I miss you so much, and I'm sorry, and I want to do things that make me happy, and the number one thing that makes me happy is being with you. It's silent. Keith waits 5 seconds before Lance brings his hands up to frame Keith's face. All of Keith's breaths stuttering out of him, and he feels something rekindling in his chest. The tiniest newborn flame. I'm not over it, Lance says quietly, just for him. Keith, I'm not over it. How the hell could I ever be? There are times when Keith stops, looks at his life, and thinks, this cannot possibly be mine. There are times, like today, when the only reason he knows this is reality is that he has to wake up at 6 a.m. 5 years later, and Keith is still not a morning person. Opening the Cat Castle Cafe has been one of the most terrifying and exhausting events of Keith's entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Lance assured him it wasn't, in fact, stupid, he still worried and panicked and didn't sleep for approximately a week straight leading up to the grand opening. But all that worry and stress vanished in an instant when they opened to a line that went out the door and around the block. In a few moments, the coffee shop will open, and they'll all have their hands full. Lance will be taking over adoptions and donations. Keith will inevitably get coffee on his clothes. Their friends will stop by throughout the day. And then... After the day has ended and the cafe has closed around 8 p.m. sharp, they will head upstairs to their loft, where they'll cuddle with their cats, watch something on TV, eat dinner, and then they'll tumble into bed together to do it all over again. Lance hops behind the counter and slips his hand into Keith's. 7 o'clock on the dot. You ready? Keith's smile is so hard his cheeks ache, so full to bursting with happiness that he's stupid with it. The kittens are meowing, the brewers are bubbling, the air smells like raspberry and chocolate. Yeah. Let's open the door. And that's Nothing's Quite As Sweet by Dimple for Your Thoughts.
Very nice.
I would recommend this to anybody any day of the fucking week. It's so good. It's like, it's a 50,000 word one shot. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet. They open up a fucking cat cafe at the end. What more could I ask for?
I know. That's like your...
That's my jam.
That's all for you.
And to have Clamps, my drug, like literally my drug in there.
It's literally for you, man.
Yeah, it really was. This is a very recommendation fic. I will say, if you want to read this fic, you have to have an AO3 account because it's locked. So you have to have an AO3 okay. account. But I would read it. It's such a good fic. It's a quick read. It's so sweet. There's cats involved. Yeah.
Everyone I know is like, cat.
There's, you know, something about cats that is really just, I didn't understand it until I got one. And then I was like.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. It's just like, for me, it's like lizards and bugs.
Right.
Yippee.
I mean, people snakes. Have their own thing. I think it's just because, like, cats are fluffy little babies that we let live in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, yeah, that's really great. And, like, they're not dogs. Like, I'll say I loved my dog, like, my childhood dog that we grew up with. But they're not, like, super needy all the time. They'll take care of themselves. She, like, my cat specifically is a menace throughout the day. She has a new hobby of ripping the pictures off my wall.
Yippee!
And, she'll claw, of course she'll claw things she's mm-hmm. not supposed to, and she doesn't particularly like being held.
See, in my house, it's mm-hmm. the complete opposite. I have a dog and a cat, and my cat is very much, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
If I want attention, you'll know. Yeah. Don't touch me otherwise. And she's not, like, aggressive or anything if we touch her. She's just, like, she gives us a look, and you're like, all right, okay. I'm gonna go away now.
Yeah.
Whereas my dog constantly has to have physical contact. Mm-hmm. So, like, she sleeps with me most nights, and it's like, oh, I'll try and, like, shift my legs around so I can sleep comfortably. She'll move, so her body is pressed right up against mine.
And then when my cat sleeps in bed with me, I'm like, oh, what a treat.
Oh.
What a treat that my cat's sleeping in my bed with me.
Yeah. I don't know. I would still consider myself a dog person.
I think that's fair. I still love dogs. The thing is I think I am both, but I love dogs. I love cats. I love pretty much all animals. I don't think I'd personally get, like, a snake. Well, you would.
Right.
But yeah, I think I like both. I think just I'm obsessed with cats right now because I have a cat.
I mean, that's valid.
Yeah. But if I had a dog, I'd be like, I'm also equally obsessed with my dog.
Fair.
Just like I was growing up. With my childhood dog.
No, that's fair.
So, but yeah, I think I understand the love of cats. I will say anyone who, like, hates cats is a red flag.
I think anyone that hates animals in particular, like, but that's the thing is, like, the two, like I said earlier, reptiles and bugs, most people are like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Whereas, like, bugs, it's more like, oh, I just, like, entomology. Like, I just, like, I'm more interested in, like, pinning bugs than I am actually owning bugs. But, like, I will fight anyone on the moth versus butterfly debate. Moths are so much prettier than butterflies.
That's so gay of you,
and
dude.
Everyone can fucking fight me for that. But, like, reptiles, I don't know. I just really like reptiles.
I think that's fair.
I really like lizards. Like, geckos are super cute. But, like, some people are like, I would never fucking let one touch me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right.
No, I'd hold one. Again, I don't think I'd own one. I am more of the furry variety. I would love to own, like, guinea pigs one day. Mm.
They're
I love
loud.
Them. They are loud, but I love their little noises. But yeah, like, I'd get things like that where some people would be like, I'm okay. Like, cats and dogs only. I would never own, like, a hamster or a guinea pig or a ferret. And I'd be like, I'd be happy owning any of them. You know what I mean? But yeah, I just love cats. I love animals. Animal-based movies are really fucking good. Yeah, I enjoy a good fan fiction. There's a Hallmark... We're going back to Hallmark Christmas movies called The Nine Lives of Christmas and the sequel The Nine Kittens of Christmas.
Wow.
They're great. They're a fantastic set of movies. You don't like Hallmark Christmas movies, I assure you that you will like these.
Wow.
Because they're really cute. And the cats are there.
Okay.
They're really like a plus. Like, cats just are a plus. Animals are just a plus.
Mm-hmm.
A dog in a movie, cats in a movie... They're just a plus to everything.
Right.
And, I thank you, Ionica. This was a great... I don't know if I'd ever find it, just because of the fact there's so much Clamps fanfiction out there.
Right.
The same thing of just, like, if you want to read, like, a supernatural fanfiction, you either, like, scroll forever and ever and ever, or you get recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love them. I would read anything. Like, I finished that and I was like, wow, that was really good. I felt high. I was like, that was really God great.
Damn.
I was like, that was incredible. Yeah.
Jesus.
I was like, that was a really good fucking pick. Yeah, please go read it. If create an AO3 account to go read it. It's a great fic. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the recommendation. And happy Valentine's Day. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.